Good morning. You are listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. I'm Austin Cross, in for Larry Mantle, who is taking a much-needed break. You know, this year has been an incredibly difficult one for all of us, really, right? But especially for our friends and neighbors and community members in the restaurant industry. You know, they've had to weather various shutdown orders, indoor and outdoor dining bans, and really a patchwork of city, county, and state regulations. Now, for many restaurants with razor-thin profit margins, this has meant shuttering. And for many others, the prospect of going out of business, it's still there. It's still looming. And restaurants in Southern California have had to adapt and even get creative in these very, very strange times. Well, to reflect on the impact of this year on the restaurant industry in Southern California, we're joined by Elena Shatkin. She's food editor at LAist. And we're also joined by Jock Condi, president and CEO of the California Restaurant Association. That's an advocacy organization for the restaurant industry. Welcome to both of you.
Hi there.
Thank you for having us.
Elena, just to get us up on the latest news, just so everybody has that in their heads as we proceed, what are the current guidelines for restaurants in Southern California, and how long at this point are they expected to last?
Well, it's hard to say how long they're going to last. Well, let me tell you a little bit about what they are first. I mean, obviously, no indoor dining. It's, you know, here in Los Angeles County, it's really just takeout and delivery. Obviously, there's been, you know, the big fight over outdoor dining, whether that ban is, you know, there's both a county ban and a statewide ban. And, you know, a judge ruled the county ban a few weeks ago in early December. A judge ruled the county ban to be, you know, not acceptable, but the state ban is still in existence, and that supersedes the county ban. So, like I said, just delivery and takeout. And honestly, they, you know, both state and county authorities could keep trying to re-up the outdoor dining ban for a while. I mean, most restaurateurs that I've talked to say they don't think that they're going to see outdoor dining return until, you know, at least February. But, you know, we'll see. I'm just reading the tea leaves, and I don't claim to be any sort of psychic about it.
Well, I want to put this one out to our listeners, too. If you're in the restaurant industry, we want to hear from you. What were this year's biggest challenges, and how have you adapted to those challenges? And here's a good one that maybe will give us some hope. What are you anticipating as you look ahead to 2021? Hopefully lower case numbers and loosened restrictions, right? Please give us a call. We want to hear from you right now. 866-893-5722. Again, that is 866-893-5722. You can also tweet AirTalk or leave a comment on the Facebook page. 866-893-5722. Jot, I know in some ways the losses of this year are really incalculable. But I also wanted to try to get a sense maybe of how many restaurants shuttered in Southern California because of this pandemic so far. Is there a rough estimate that you've seen?
It's hard to tell, really. There's no government agency that sort of keeps track in real time of the restaurants that have decided to close. I think what you have, well, what we had suggested early on, and this was back in March when, you know, there was a shutdown that I think most people anticipated would last maybe a few months. The prediction was about 30% of the restaurants, and these are mostly independent full service restaurants, would likely not reopen. Mm. And of course, 9 months into this, 10 months into this, you know, we're looking at a lot of restaurants that are boarded up. And what we don't know are the decisions that are being made by these restaurant owners sitting around their kitchen table trying to figure out if they can reopen, if they can actually make it work when the dining bans are lifted, and many of them are throwing in the towel, but we just don't know. Yeah, it's just not public yet. They're not announcing it. There's no press conferences, you know, and essentially over time, as business licenses are up for renewal, I think we will see the true fallout on our industry probably in the springtime. But I would say, you know, in places like San Francisco, that have a very high restaurant density, the estimations are probably close to 50% will not reopen.
Wow, that is the number that we don't want to hear. We're talking right now to Jock Condi. He's president and CEO of the California Restaurant Association. We're also joined by Elena Shatkin. She's food editor at LAist. And we want to hear from you, you listening at home in your car right now. If you're part of the restaurant industry, what were this year's biggest challenges? How have you adapted? And what are you facing right now? What are you looking at? We want to know. If you're willing to share it with us, we'd love to put it out there. Please give us a call, 866-893-5722. Again, that's 866-893-5722. Elena, you have reported that some restaurants are actually openly defying the outdoor dining ban. And I'm really wondering, what have been the justifications? Why have restaurant owners, some of them at least, decided to do that?
I think it's a few different reasons. Some of them basically feel they have nothing to lose. They're going to go out of business. They feel like they're going to go out of business anyway, so might as well go down swinging. In other cases, people, you know, there have been law enforcement, you know, officials and agencies that have basically said, we're not going to enforce this, or at least we're not going to be harsh about enforcing it. So, you know, some restaurateurs don't feel that, you know, they have anything to fear in that regard. Others oppose, you know, the ban theoretically on, you know, various theoretical and intellectual grounds. And others are just trying to sneak in and do it, hoping they don't get caught. And because, you know, they need to do anything they can to stay afloat. So, you know, maybe some combination of all those reasons.
You know, Jot, I'm really curious because behind all of those numbers, behind that 50% number that you even mentioned there, it's a life, you know, and it's a person who put their hopes and their dreams into building this thing that people enjoyed, and then suddenly, boom, just overnight almost, their income, their ability to actually survive has been cut so dramatically that they just can't do it anymore, and that's absolutely heartbreaking when you think about it. And I'm really wondering, as you look ahead to 2021, what do you think is in store for the Southern California restaurant industry? I mean, do you see us, or how do you see us kind of rising from those ashes?
Yeah, well, yeah, I think to your point just about, you know, these are lives of individuals. Most smaller independent restaurants that have, you know, leases in many cases have personal guarantees tied to their leases, and they're 6-7 months behind in rent, and they've got personal guarantees tied to that, what they owe their landlord, and many of them are at risk of losing their home. So I think to the point earlier about, you know, what's driving some of these restaurants into just staying open, it's desperation. It's they're at risk of losing their homes. And I think that this story that isn't told enough is the one about our workforce, who are central to the hospitality industry. You can have great food and a great dining environment, although these days in Los Angeles, it's a sidewalk or a parking lot. But if you don't have the people with the passion for service in the hospitality industry, you know, guests aren't going to come back, and they're probably going to tell their friends accordingly. And you don't have a, you know, a profitable business. And it's those workers, it's the culture that, you know, in many cases, restaurateurs spend their entire career and passion around building a team and a culture of, you know, team members that make the restaurant successful, and they're very tight knit. And I think, you know, what's happened with these forced closures is restaurant owners have essentially been forced to break up workplace families. I mean, for many people who have worked in the industry, they know this, that work environment is a very tight, close relationship between these workers. And so those families have been broken up. I think what the industry looks like coming out of this, it's really, I mean, you can listen to the analysts talk about, well, you know, the lunchtime environment's going to look a lot different. I mean, a lot of it depends on what part of Southern California you're in. If you're in an area near downtown where there's a lot of high density office space that's largely vacant, what's the lunch business going to look like? You know, is it going to be more grab and go? Is there going to be less full service restaurants? And that, I think, you know, I think one of the big trends we'll see is, you know, the days of the 5,000 square foot restaurant will be in the...
You know what, Jot, you went away there, but stick with us here. I want to hear from Stavos in San Clemente. He's a restaurant owner. Stavos, how are you getting through this right now?
We're managing better than anticipated. We're a resilient business, and we were able to adjust and adapt as changes were requested from us. Hmm. One of the things that has been quite challenging that I didn't anticipate was managing our customers' expectations of us. We were either doing too much in terms of our being too strict, requiring our customers, you know, to follow protocols, or we were being too relaxed, depending on who you spoke to. And so I think managing customer expectation has been quite challenging, more than I anticipated, like I said.
Wow, that's Stavros in San Clemente. Thank you so much for sharing. We were also joined by Trevor. And Trevor, really quickly before we jump away to break, what are you looking at right now? What's your situation?
Hi, thanks for having me on. I'm the beverage director for a restaurant group based out of Southern California, but we have, 24 locations across our company. And, you know, my biggest concern about all this is the impact on not only the bar aspect of our business, where, you know, we're a restaurant, but the bar industry in general. You know, we specialize.
Hey, Trevor, we've got to take a quick break, but please stick with us here. I really want to hear what you've got to say. We've just got this hard out that we are up against. It's one of those challenges of radio. But please, Trevor in East LA, beverage director, please stick with us. I want to hear your story. We will be back with more Air Talk in just a minute here on KPCC. I'm Austin Cross, in for Larry Mantle. We'll continue talking about the restaurant industry here in Southern California. This is Air Talk. I'm Austin Cross, in today for Larry Mantle. Happy Tuesday to you. We are continuing our conversation looking at Southern California restaurants. The whole industry has taken a major hit as a result of this pandemic. A lot of people out there listening right now probably know that firsthand. We're joined for this conversation by Elena Shatkin. She is food editor at LAist, along with Jot Condi, president and CEO of the California Restaurant Association. We've also got Trevor on the line in East LA. Before we get to Trevor, I just want to say, if you're like Trevor in the restaurant industry, if you work in a restaurant, if you worked in a restaurant, past tense, we want to hear what you're facing right now. What have been your biggest challenges? How have you adapted? And what are you looking forward to as we head into 2021? Please go ahead, give us a call. We would love to hear from you. 866-893-5722. Again, that's 866-893-5722. I just lost the page myself there, 866-893-5722. I hope you can remember it better than I can. Trevor in East LA, you are beverage director of a restaurant group. What have been the challenges that you've been facing?
Well, I think that's a loaded question. But, oh boy. I think the main challenges here are obviously, not having our employees with us, not having our team members with us, having to cut down on our scheduling. That probably is the biggest thing that hurts. The restaurant group that I work for specializes in Discover American Craft, which is a focus on American craft spirits and beverages made in the United States. And one of the big impacts I see is on our brethren and sisters in the craft distillery and craft beer industry, and the lack of on-premise sales in restaurants. I think a lot of bigger brands are really succeeding in the market in retail, but all our smaller craft breweries and craft distilleries are really struggling as much as restaurants during this time. So I think that's a big part of the conversation that I think gets left out. I think the craft beer scene in Los Angeles alone has grown over the past few years.
It has.
That's a big part of our concept. The name of the concept that I work for is called Eureka Restaurant Group. And, I think those two things, just supporting the people within the industry, not only our employees, but also, the distilleries and the breweries and the people that are also affected by the restaurant shutdown is definitely a topic that I think is not talked about enough.
Well, Trevor, I'm really curious, based off of your proximity to these breweries and these independent brewers, have they found ways to adapt through this pandemic so far so that they can keep the lights on and keep operating until we maybe see a better day in the future?
Well, I think the LA Brewers Guild has been a big advocate for our breweries in Los Angeles, and they've done a lot of great things to help, you know, back a few months ago, getting outdoor dining for breweries by allowing them to partner with local, you know, food businesses to have food and have that. But I mean, now that that's being taken away, you know, they're really just relying on their, you know, their tasting room sales as far as to-go business, you know, canning a lot more product, trying to get people to come to the breweries to buy the beer themselves. You know, we've tried our best to continue doing keg sales at our restaurants and doing like beer bags to go, where, you know, we're filling these almost like the bags you would get at Starbucks, or like the coffee that comes in the boxes, but filling beer in them. So we're trying to support the craft beer industry by doing that. So yeah, but I mean, most breweries are relying on, you know, just retail sales and can and bottle business at the moment.
That's Trevor in East LA. He's a beverage director for a restaurant group. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts, Trevor. And as he mentions there, brewers facing some real challenges. I want to turn to Elena Shatkin. She's food editor at The LAist, our website. Elena, does that match up with a lot of the things that you've been hearing from that area as well?
Yeah, it definitely does. And I think the notion that independent, you know, restaurants, just like independent, you know, bars and breweries and distillers, are hurting in a way that, you know, bigger chains are not, is very true. And I think part of the sad thing that happens is that many of these, you know, restaurants, bars, breweries, whatever, that are small, that are independent, that aren't backed by, you know, tons of operating capital, they end up going out of business. Eventually, the pandemic ends, things start bouncing back, rents, you know, start going back up. And at that point, it's hard for independent operators to afford those rents. And what happens is that, you know, the only kind of companies that can really afford those rents end up being things like, you know, chains, right? Chipotle, Starbucks, things like that. Not that there's anything wrong with those, but it's really sad to me that independent restaurants, bars, and other, you know, food businesses are suffering the brunt of this.
It's a lot of our community members. I want to ask a question to Jot Condi. He's president and CEO of the California Restaurant Association. And Jot, you mentioned some of the decisions right before the break, some of the decisions that restaurant owners will have to make in 2021. And all of that is kind of part of figuring out where your customers will be at that time, especially considering that office parks and office spaces, they might not be the same for some time. Is looking ahead for a lot of restaurant owners, is it like kind of trying to hit a moving target at this point?
Yeah, it really is, because nobody knows for sure, right, how consumer behavior will bounce back, or when it will bounce back and what it will look like. And certainly, like I was saying earlier, that where the customers are, if they're not concentrated in the downtown area, then it's going to certainly make a difference in a restaurant who used to be, you know, primarily a lunch, you know, establishment, and they're going to have to, you know, figure out schedule and rents and location, all of that. So I think, you know, once the all clear sign is given and we all climb out of our bunkers and see what the terrain looks like, I think there's going to be some tough decisions and pivoting decisions that restaurants are going to have to make. I think it also, I think that to the point that was made earlier, just about the, you know, these small independent restaurants and, you know, the difference in the ecosystem that exists, you know, around the independent restaurant community versus some of the larger ones that have sort of broad line food distributors. You know, a lot of these independent restaurants, you know, take pride in their craft, you know, brews and drinks, and you know, they use suppliers who are artisan farmers who make, let's say, like grow unique heirloom tomatoes, and, you know, and distillers who primarily are selling to restaurants. It's that artisan ecosystem of our independent restaurant vendors who are also going to feel a massive impact going forward.
I think one thing that became very clear through this pandemic, maybe in a way that it never has, at least to me before, is realizing just how interconnected our economy is, and behind everything, every business, there's a person who's behind that, who's making the little itty bitty parts to the big parts just to make that business possible. And so what I'm hearing from you, Jod, is that really it's being felt all the way up and down the supply chain.
Absolutely. It cascades, you know, into industries that most people wouldn't even consider being part of the restaurant industry, but we are all interconnected.
We're talking right now to Jod Condi, president and CEO of the California Restaurant Association. Also with us is Elena Shatkin, food editor at LAist. And Elena, with just a couple seconds left here, I really want to touch on something that Jod mentioned earlier about it not just being the owners or even just the huge supply chain that's taking a hit, but it's the people work behind the scenes, and many of them might be immigrants, and many of them don't have a lot of a net beneath them. Have you heard about some of the things that they're facing really briefly here?
Yes, it's true. A really large percentage of people who work in the restaurant and hospitality industry are undocumented, are here without legal papers. And, you know, although in many cases they pay taxes, they don't get a lot of the benefits, unemployment, things like that. And that puts them in a hard position of, do they go back to working in this industry? Do they work under the table? Do they go back to wherever they, you know, had originally come from?
That's Elena Shatkin from LAist. This is Air Talk. It continues at 11 o'clock. Stay with us.